Hello, and welcome to another edition of the award-winning Sight into Sound Presents. On this program, we will talk to Michael McCullough and Sandhya Rao from iBug. The iBlind Users Group helps to promote and encourage the individual independence, social integration, and educational development of the blind and visually impaired community in Houston and throughout the country through accessible technology. That's the founding members of iBug, coming up on Sight into Sound Presents. Hi, this is Jim Bratton, and welcome to Sight into Sound Presents. Today we've got a couple of my favorites on the show, and that's Michael McCullough and Sandhya Rao. And they are with iBug. And by the way, let's start with the website, though. The website is iBugtoday.com. There's so much interesting stuff that you folks do that I never quite know where to start. But can we begin with a brief capsulized history and background of the organization? Michael, you want to jump in on that?
Yeah, sure, Jim. Glad to be here. So how we got started, I first got my first iPhone back in the summer of 2010. That was a year after the iPhone became accessible to the blind. 2009, the accessible features were implemented into the software in the on the iPhone. But at that time, I could not find anyone around in the Houston area, really all over Texas, and very few blind people across the nation that were even using iPhones at that time. So I ended up having to kind of self-teach myself the how to use the phone. And then once I started using it, I just saw what a just a real game changer it would be for the blind and visually impaired. Then later in the following year, 2011, March of 2011, there was a workshop I presented over at the University of Houston. There's an annual blind event going on there. So I offered to do this workshop and kind of an introduction to the iPhone. And we had a number of participants that came. And after the meeting, they told me, said, hey, we want to continue learning and developing our proficiency and skills in using the iPhone. And can we start a users group? So a couple months later, we got this group going together, and it affectionately named it at that time, the iOS Blind Users Group. We were strictly using just Apple products and the iOS operating system. And so that was basically the genesis of iBug, that first meeting there.
So that was in 2010.
Yeah. Well, actually, 2011.
2011.
May of 2011. Yeah. So we just had our eighth anniversary here a few months ago.
Sandhya, when did you get involved in it?
I was at that first meeting. I heard about this. You know, the promotion was this guy from NASA is going to be coming and talking about the iPhone, and we're like, oh, okay. So it was very exciting. And yeah. He did this really amazing presentation. You know, he's calling people and just doing everything on his own. You know, on the iPhone, whereas I had this silly flip phone and couldn't check anything. I had to ask my nieces, you know, who called me? You know, how do I save a message and all that? So I was really excited. And so that's how I got involved.
How many people, as you started off, I mean, you did this presentation, what kind of a nucleus did you start with then?
Well, actually, our very first group, we had just a small core of people, about half a dozen people.
Right.
For our first meeting. And, gradually, over a period of about a year, it continued to grow and grow. And about that time, a year later, the new Apple Store over on Westheimer in Highland Village just opened up. And so I went over, talked to the manager there, because I knew they had this huge facility. I was one of the ones that got up early in the morning, got in line to go to the opening of the store. And found out they had this big conference room upstairs there. And so talked to the manager and worked out a little deal that for us to be able to meet there on a monthly basis there in the Apple Store.
So you have seen some major steps. Sandhya, how have you, okay, you began to use the iPhone at that time, after that introduction then. What have you seen in terms of development on it? What's been one of the most major developments that the iPhone has done that's of value to you then?
I've been able to like I said, just use the phone. I mean, I know that sounds really basic, but like I said, I couldn't previously do anything by myself using the phone. I had to depend on somebody to do everything, check my messages, enter contacts. So now I, you know, this is what, you know, I'm able to text and send email and surf the internet and read the news and read books and, you know, navigate using GPS and, you know, identify colors and identify objects. I mean, it's endless. You know, identify money, read menus. I mean, it's amazing.
You know, I know that I know we've got people listening who may be apprehensive about the idea of working on a flat screen with no buttons. And I was going to cover this later, but we'll get into what you're doing now or recently and in the future in a little while. But can we talk about getting past that hurdle?
Sure.
And for those, particularly those that, like me, might be a mature individual that are concerned about using a flat screen, how did you make that adjustment? I mean, how easy was that for you?
Okay, it's a learning curve. Like anything worth having and worth doing does take a little effort. But once you invest some time and, you know, dedicate yourself to learning the gestures. There are some basic gestures.
Right.
And you kind of familiarize yourself with the layout of the phone. And, you know, this is what, you know, we do is try to help people, like double tapping. You're basically what VoiceOver is, a screen reading software that is built into the phone. Every iPhone, every iDevice has this capability.
It's native then.
Right, it's native, and that is what makes the Apple product so powerful. And so that's called VoiceOver. It's very different from Siri. Everybody kind of confuses the two. But
yeah.
Siri's the one with the attitude. VoiceOver is a very different, animal. And so VoiceOver basically echoes everything that you're touching on the screen. So as you touch the screen, it will read to you. It'll say, like on your home screen, as you run your finger, it'll say Safari, and then it'll say clock, it'll say phone, or whatever. And then once you know, okay, well, it's on phone, it just said phone, and then you want to make a phone call or something, then you can double tap with two fingers, like real quick, tick, tick,
yeah.
You know, and then it will activate it. It will execute that command. You have just executed opening that application. And then you can navigate through the list of callers. You can,
a lot that you can do, and it sounds fairly intuitive. Now, you probably were relatively tech savvy coming in. So what about, and I have specific people in mind that, like I said, that are mature, and they're concerned about it. So you have some introductory, now let's talk about what you do, okay?
Right.
So you've got introductory courses that you do then?
Yeah, so for a person, you know, brand new that has never used a touch screen type device, we've got a number of different training modalities that we use. Majority of them are a group type training. There's about four or five different group trainings that we do. And then there's one individual training, and that's probably the one that we always recommend the brand new user get involved with. That's we call it our Jumpstart Mentoring Program. And there we will match up, you know, the new user with one of our advanced users, and they'll get together on their own, work an hour to 2 hours a week. And we found that over a period of about, you know, 2 to 3 months, that the new user can pretty much get up to speed, doing pretty much all of the gestures that you need to do, navigating the screen.
Let me just get it. So if we whetted the appetite now,
uh-huh.
So what's the best way to reach the organization then? Through the website?
So, if, you know, going onto our website, the iBugToday.com website, there's a contact form there that you can fill out and, get in contact with us. There's a form there if you want to get involved with the Jumpstart Mentoring Program. You can fill out that application, and we'll get you signed up and matched up with one of our advanced users.
So the website is iBugToday.com, then, right?
iBugToday.com.
Yeah. Alrighty, we're going to go over that several since that is the primary pivot point for finding you folks.
Yes.
So that's somebody getting started. Now, do you also how do you disseminate new information about that? I see thousands and thousands of apps. I don't know how many of them are suitable or designed for visually impaired, but do you vet some of the apps and make that information available?
So we have, through our various trainings, like one of the trainings that Michael mentioned, our group training is a Monday night call. Every Monday night, it's called the iBug Buzz conference call from 7:30 to 9:30 every Monday.
Really?
And on that call, we've got people from all over the country that call. It can be up to, between 20, 25 people every Monday night. And we all share resources and talk about, we have new users. The first 45 minutes are dedicated to those new users, and they can ask any questions that they want and get a live response. You get people showing you how to, we have demos on the call, like, well, this is how you answer a call, or this is how you disconnect, or this is how you save a message, or right. whatever it is that they want, And so, and then the later part, we talk about the latest news, different apps that people have come across. Because, like you said, there are thousands of apps out there. So, and then there we rely, lots of people listen to other podcasts about accessibility issues, affecting the blind. Mm-hmm. And so it's amazing, that we have some very dedicated, participants, volunteers that we all, because we love our iPhones. And
yes.
We're all a bunch of nerds, basically. Well, I speak for myself and proud of it, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Nerds win.
I could add on there, we have one guy, our Twitter master. He's a real techie type person, and so he's constantly monitoring different websites, different apps that are coming out. And so, if people want to follow us on Twitter, our handle is @iBugToday, and he's just daily, posting, retweeting new news, information about apps, the latest apps that are coming out that we think are usable, useful to the blind and visually impaired.
Right, and that's Herbie Allen. We are very much indebted to him. He definitely, it's not just accessibility information, it's also Apple News, and then sometimes how the two intersect. So
this is, okay, so that's your Twitter. So let's just talk about social media. We got iBugToday.com, iBugToday.com is the focus website. That's the landing site. Then, if they want to participate in this conference call, is that where the information would be? Then,
right, the conference line. We have a free conference line out there, and that's the main way that there's information about how to join the conference calls.
Okay, yeah,
on the website.
Okay, how to dial in or whatever.
Yeah, there's an app. Yes,
you go to other hosting methods, and
right.
That'll be on there as well.
Exactly.
So, okay.
Exactly. And all of our information, all of these different trainings that we do are recorded and then hosted on that website as well.
So as bucket of sound there, then, that covers all this stuff as a podcast style piece, which, by the way, that's the way this interview will be presented, is through the Sight into Sound podcast.
I want to acknowledge that our Monday night calls that I mentioned are refined and edited and then posted on the Sight into Sound website. So y'all have been doing that for us for a long time, and we're very grateful for that as well.
Well, there's no, once you create the information, there's no reason why it can't be distributed in every medium that there is. Social media.
Okay.
It's iBugToday that's the @. And is iBugToday the brand that travels through the other social medias as well then?
Yes. Facebook, it's facebook.com/groups/iBugToday.
Got it.
And then we have a recently started Instagram account, mm-hmm. @iBugToday.
Okay.
And I think those are our social
And all those links then would appear on your landing website,
yes.
as well then. So
yes.
Website,
so,
is still core place to branch
and
out.
The Facebook page is a very active page, and there you can get information between all of these conference calls that we do, posting, people post questions, issues, different problems that they're having, and then they get an instant answer because it's pretty active.
I'm guessing, I'm in a couple of professional groups. You can drill as deep as you want to through this, and I'm sure there's links and stuff and... You can get as close to the source of the information as possible, then.
Yes.
So, Let's talk about where things might be going in the future. We're in great shape on time, by the way, so, and we have unlimited time. This is a podcast instead. Jim's not in the other, executive producer's not in the other room telling me when everything is supposed to end. He's not telling me to speed up or slow down or anything.
I love to talk.
Take as much as we want. All right. So, past, development, today, social media, some of the apps that are available, some of the training for novices. Can we delve into some of the, you mentioned just superficially some of the apps that are out there. Can we talk about the color app? That's something I get questions about. So how do I do the color? Michael?
Yeah, I can talk a little bit about it. There's a number of color apps that are available. We found, though, that many of them, they're very light dependent. So depending on the light source in the room you're using, when you're using the app, then you get different detections of the colors. And so they're not always give you true colors. And so those we have to be really careful about. We have found that there's, one or two that are a little bit better than others. And so, go onto our website and find all of those too. But, color is probably one of the hardest things to be able to use for a visually impaired person.
Well, the apps, if you're asking for a specific couple of apps, there are one that we recommend is TapTapC.
Yeah.
And that one, you take a picture and then it will basically tell you man with a red shirt, or it'll give you a little more information, and then you can figure out what color it is.
Okay.
What is the other one?
So what she was talking about there, what it does is, once you've taken that picture, it takes it out to a web or to a database of colors. And then it will come back and give you a fairly accurate color. Another thing that's become even more popular is using crowdsourcing. And so there's other apps called Be My Eyes, where you actually will connect up with volunteers that will actually be able to see what your camera is seeing and help you do little tasks or identify colors and things like that. So those have become really popular with our...
Prior to that app, a lot of us used to call our families and it was like, hey, how does this look? And then it was like, oh, it looks terrible. Don't wear that outside, Now you get nice people that will answer your questions.
Without judgment.
Without judgment, without an attitude. Yeah. But they're all over the world. It's amazing. It's a beautiful app that is very helpful. And it's free, just like all of our services. iBug is all free.
Good point. Yeah, okay. So no cost for any of this stuff.
Nope.
It's all volunteer done. So anybody out there, if you're wondering if there's a cost involved, the answer is definitively no. That's pretty cool.
No cost to the user.
If you want to make a donation, that is fine. But
sure.
We welcome donations. We are a nonprofit corporation.
Okay, yeah. Good. You're 501c3 then.
Yes, we are.
Good.
Yeah,
exactly.
Everything we do, we, our volunteers, we're so grateful for them.
Can we move into, we hadn't even talked about discussing this, but, I lean toward audio. So I'm wondering, what's out there sound-wise these days? Anything specifically that's geared towards spatial immersion or anything that to place sounds or anything, or is that still coming, do you think? I'm thinking binaural and surround sound.
There's one app. If you're talking about an application, it's been out for a while. It's called Netscape, I think, or Scape? Soundscape.
Soundscape.
And so... I think I haven't tried this myself. I've read a little bit. Maybe Michael knows some more, but it's supposed to give you guidance. Like if you're wearing these special headphones and you get feedback on your right ear, if the things are on your right side and just grossly oversimplifying.
But it gives you some point sources then.
Right. And then there are other applications. There's, different like Blind Square and Nearby Explorer. There are various GPS applications that are specifically designed for blind users and, navigating, either outside or even we're slowly getting to where we can navigate inside as well. There's new software where you can maybe mark places like breadcrumbs.
Come on.
Yeah, I read about it, but I haven't tried it myself. So it's pretty exciting.
It's just as deep as you want to drill, the way it sounds. All right, so let's take it into the future then. What's coming up? What do you got coming up? And who wants to throw out the agenda?
Okay, I'll go ahead. A couple of things that, you know, a number of our users use, and I use an app. It's called Aira. And Aira is spelled A-I-R-A. This is an app. It's being used by a lot of the blind to, and basically it's very similar to the Be My Eyes. It'll connect you this time it's going to be a trained agent. So they're familiar with, you know, the blind, all the skills that it takes to be blind. And what they're seeing is when you call in, they see your real-time location, and then they have other computer screens that they're monitoring also that they can use, so they can facilitate you, you know, navigating if you need to go someplace in particular. I've used them, for example, had a outdoor patio little swing set that mm-hmm. I was putting together, and so I had them. The person, and again, there's two ways you can use it, either your phone camera or they have some special glasses. I was wearing the glasses so I could have both hands free and to do the construction. And so the agent that was leading me, the glasses have a camera built into them. And so whatever I was, you know, my head was pointing at, that he was seeing. And so he had me lay out all the parts, then slowly. Actually, I didn't have the instructions with me, so he went onto the web, pulled up, found the instructions for that particular model, and started, you know, directing me to go step by step to actually construct the thing. And so that was pretty, you know, that was something that I would have never been able to do on my own. So that particular app, doing those kinds of things. Actually, just recently, I had some knee surgery, and I was on crutches, and so at that time I couldn't use it, you know, have two crutches and use my cane at the same time. And so I was using that app, again, wearing the glasses with the camera built in, and so they would help me get around, navigate, and I would be able to safely get around.
But they do insist that you have really good navigation skills. You have to either be using a dog or a cane. That is definitely required.
Okay, so this is not a matter of
just
going
out. You can't use this to cross the street. I mean, I think it might get there, but they are. It's not a substitute for other blindness skills. And real quick, his story of construction. Mine was going to the airport and buying my mom a shot glass. So the lady on Aira pulled up where I was in the airport, told me which way. I use a wheelchair as well. So she navigated me to the store. We got into the, you know, and made sure I didn't knock over any displays in the process, and looked at the different, described the different shot glasses. And I picked one out all by myself and paid for it and got back to the gate all by myself. I mean, it was a little thing, but it was really huge to me.
That's very impressive. Sounds like, without being trite, the future is now.
Yeah.
I mean, it sounds like there's no interstices really between now and the future and what the potentials are.
When the costs are coming down, the service that Michael was talking about previously was, you know, pay as you go, kind of had to pay a monthly service, which was a little, may have been a little bit out of reach for some people if they didn't think they could justify it. But now, basically, you can have a 5-minute call. With no commitments, just every call can last 5 minutes, and you can ask them whatever you want. So it's pretty.
Wow,
that's great for accomplishing small tasks.
Now let's talk about the future of the organization. What do you got coming down the road with the Apple Store being closed right now? What's that doing to you in terms of location?
Yeah, so the Apple Store where we had been meeting for our monthly meeting, or we call it our iBug Apple Workshop. And that monthly meeting, we've had to temporarily move it over to the Metropolitan Multi-Service Center over on 1475 West Gray. So we'll probably be meeting there, we know, at least through September, possibly longer, depending on how long the remodeling. I'm sure they're working fast and hard to get that place back up and ready before the Christmas shopping season.
Yeah, I'm judging by the traffic in that store.
Yeah.
I would think
it's,
so.
It's a beautiful place.
What kind of activities do you have coming up then that we might want to look forward to?
Well, let's see. So on the technical front, we are training. We're starting a Mac training program.
Yeah.
So we are, as we said, all the Apple products come with VoiceOver built in, and the Mac is no exception. And so we are, we have a, in addition to the Monday night call, the 7:30 to 9:30 call, we have one on the fourth Tuesday of every month where we are slowly talking about, you know, whether the Mac is right for you or if you already have a Mac. Some people get a Mac and they're so frustrated. They're like, I can't use this. Yeah. I'm going to go back to my PC. So for all those people, we're there, and we are working on that. And we're going to have like a brief class to help people through those initial gestures, like just like we had started with the iPhone training. We're starting a Mac training, so we're really excited about that. And one of our volunteers, Chanel Allen, is heading that up, and we're so grateful. So it's very exciting.
Oh, yeah.
It's very powerful, the Mac. I mean, you know, the iPhone itself is very powerful. And then, you know, to be able to maybe transpose those gestures and use some of that knowledge and help people to, you know, take what's familiar and then extrapolate that to the Mac is very exciting.
How about drifting over to the iPad and iPad Pro? Are you doing some of that intuitively as well then?
Yeah, we've been doing training with the iPad since it has the same operating system
right.
as the iPhone, basically the iOS operating system. And so we've been doing that all along. The Mac training that Sonia mentioned, yeah, that's a new since that's a totally different operating system,
right.
although it has some similarities there with all the mobile platforms. I don't know if we want to get into it, but, you know, our mission statement says that we promote the individual independence, social integration, and educational development of the blind and visually impaired through accessible technology training. And so that part in there about social integration, you know, we believe in is part of the end for a person to be independent. You know, we're trying to develop the whole person here using technology. And one thing that we found that, you know, we help host a number of different activities, going out to the theater, to musical events, to sporting events, different things like that. And using, you know, our technology, our iPhones, we're helping train people to be more independent. If we go to a restaurant, to
yes.
be able to pull up menus. If the menu's not readily available, there's special apps that are basically optical character recognition apps where they can, you know, take a picture of the menu and then it'll read it back to you. And so the technology has just allowed the blind to, you know, just really flourish and become part of the mainstream, doing pretty much everything a sighted person can do.
Well, what I say is, until iBug came along, I had never ordered my own meal before by myself. I had always had, you know, family or friends or whatever, and I had never gone to a restaurant by myself.
Right.
And so this has really just transformed my life. I mean, before I would go to school, go home, go to work, whatever, but that was it. And now my family's like, you're never home.
So, no, that's,
but yeah. I mean, that just shows that we believe in what we're training here. The training is so to help people be their best self, to be the best and reach, you know, do what they want to do. You know, and it sounds very basic, but to a lot of events and social interactions take place around the dinner table.
Yeah.
And, you know, how many times, you know, let's go talk that over drinks, over food, you know, have lunch together. And how are you going to do that? Or a job interview, you know, you have
right.
a lot of times you have to meet at Starbucks. Okay, well, how are you going to order? What's there? And, you know, how do you get there? I mean, so there's all these different, it's not just about eating the food. It's about how you get there, what you do when you're there, how do you get home, how do you pay for it? Using Apple Pay. I mean, so there's so many different ways that the technology comes into that one act of going to the restaurant. So,
y'all have offered such a nice summary of the organization. Anything that you'd like to add before we wrap things up today?
Well, like Michael mentioned, the social integration is, I'm a big theater person. So
yeah.
What we do is we collaborate with the Hobby Center, and Broadway Across America. And we try to get discounted, you know, tickets.
Right.
And then they provide audio description for the events. So, like, very shortly, we've gone to musical, like Broadway musicals such as Hamilton, Mary Poppins, you know, The King and I. These are all the ones that we've done recently. Upcoming are The Cats and Fiddler on the Roof. So, you know, some of the classic. And so what we get to do is go ahead of time, and they let us touch some of the props and costumes and get a little description of what they look like, and we get to feel them. It's, you know, really brings it all to life for
you
us.
You get to touch the set pieces?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, go backstage and, yeah.
We got to touch, like, for the Hamilton, there was the King George's crown and forth. It was just amazing. I mean, because you really have no sense of, I mean, if you've never seen before, some people have never seen before, or even if you have a little vision, you have no idea what it looks like.
So it gives you a spatial representation.
Right, right. I mean, it's wonderful. And they have been, you know, so we are really looking forward to those events. And then we try to go to Miller Outdoor Theater. They do a lot of wonderful events that are free. So we love the Miller Outdoor Theater as well.
I see that you're both wearing Apple Watch. So we're talking about the technology of the future, and I mentioned about the total lack of interstices between now and the future. Tell me about the watch.
Okay. So I got my first watch, when the first Apple Watch became available.
Why is that not a surprise?
And, yeah, I'm always first in line whenever the new models come out, too. But, I found it to be just really partner really well with the iPhone, and it'll do a lot of things the iPhone, and that way I don't have to always have the iPhone with me. I'll go out walking or out in the neighborhood and may or may not take my iPhone with me, and basically my watch then becomes, you know, does a lot of the things that my iPhone would do. I can, you know, if I get important messages coming in, I can take those. If I even get phone calls, I've been in the shower before and had phone calls and be talking to people and they don't even know I'm in the shower.
So, and so you got the one with full mobile coverage.
It's got the cellular connection to it.
Well, are we,
Sandy, you've got one on too, so you've got the gray one.
I love, technology is wonderful. And like Michael said, you can do just about everything that you can do on your iPhone, but it's the portability. You don't always have to be carrying that. Maybe you don't have your purse with you. You don't have your pocket with you. And even if you're not out running around, just being in your own house and quickly answer the phone or, oh, that's so-and-so calling, you can see it. And then you can even get it. It's like haptic gestures. It'll give you a little touch on your hand, and then you know whether you need to go and check that message. Nobody else will know except you, so it's very discreet. I like that a lot about it. And then, like we said, you can be like, what is it, Dick Tracy, and talk on your phone, and we do that. It's pretty cool, and the sound quality has come a long way.
Seemingly so.
And you can set alarms, and you know what?
What?
You can tell time.
Come on. I bet you can talk on the iPhone, too.
Yeah, that happens, too, every once in a while.
Mom, you almost forget, don't you?
Yeah.
Well, this thing rings. I can speak into it.
Who would have thought?
But, okay, the question that crosses my mind. That's a tiny screen on a watch. How do you work with how do you work with that?
Because VoiceOver, that favorite, you know, what we talked about earlier, built-in screen reader, is there, and we are visually impaired, so we're not looking at it anyway. Touching it and swiping. it's okay. That's a fair question, but we're swiping and double tapping. All those gestures that we do on the iPhone translate to the Apple Watch. And
okay, so because they're not okay, so on the Apple Watch they're not as space. I was thinking,
right?
That they're
spatially,
a hole here.
It's
that
okay.
They're not spatial.
Right.
That you don't have the spatial separation. So, but you can still by Apple, by the voice and all that.
Yeah, it's telling me. I mean, somebody, I won't name any names, but his initials are Michael McCulloch, changed my screensaver on my watch. So now every time I touch my watch, it said a blue belly jellyfish is now emerging into the deep. So it describes to
Come
me
on.
The screensaver. Yeah.
Really?
So that's what I mean. It's like you don't miss anything on an Apple Watch. So you can do everything.
We'll answer that question. Yeah. Thank y'all. Y'all have just, you are a delight to interview, and you have such great passion and purpose on this organization. And the organization is iBug Today. That's their brand, iBugToday.com, at iBug Today, and iBug Today, wherever you look for it, will be them. Go to the website because it's all summarized there. I want to thank Michael McCullough, Sandhya Rao for being here today. Thank you so very, very much for your time and your information and your commitment to this organization.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Jim. Good to be here.
We hope you enjoyed this edition of the award-winning Sight Into Sound Presents. We'd like to thank Michael McCullough and Sandhya Rao for taking time to come into the Sight Into Sound studios to talk about iBug. If you would like to contact iBug, please visit iBugToday.com. That's iBugToday.com. Sight Into Sound Presents is a production of Sight Into Sound Radio. Your producer was Jim Martinez. I'm Jim Bratton.